seated. All right, let's move forward in our dissertation. Take your document and make sure our guests have one. Have a copy. Scripture Distinctions of Actualization in Eternity from Manifestation in Time. Now, as we have forestated, we shall labor here for some time.
Yes, sir.
It is so vitally, vitally important. In conjunction to this, I want you to, with this, rather, I should say, you take your Bibles. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16.
All right.
If you notice on the second page of your document, we have that is our base dissertation scripture. We shall go over that again and again and again. We have it both in the Greek scripting there as well as the literal English translation, and we have it there because we want you to see exactly how the original writers stated it versus what many of the translations, in contrast, I should say, how many of the translations portray it. Amen. So word for word, we have it there. Also, we have a glossary of definitions. We shall be using terms, terminology that some may not be completely familiar with. Some we've heard, some words maybe we have not. So we've got the glossary of definitions there to give the information. Today I want to move into the document, turn to the section of God's ontological existence in Himself. This is where we left off last week. And then this morning, we're going to focus into a theme: the existence of everything was initialized and actualized in eternity by God's decree. Everybody repeat after me. The existence of everything.
The existence of everything.
Was initialized.
Was initialized.
And actualized.
And actualized.
In eternity.
In eternity.
By God's decree. And there are many that are going to militate against us in relationship to this. And of course, amen, this is why in our ministering and the characteristic of this ministering is to always exegete or go into the scriptures using the three-prong scrutiny of grammatically and historically and contextually, that taking those three and juxtaposing them, laying them out side by side, and as my pastor basically used to say many times, if you can get those three to agree, that is the grammatical, historical, and contextual aspect, and get those three to agree, then you're pretty close to what the conveyance is.
Amen.
All right. All right, now with that said, let's see. Ellen Nickerson is our designated reader this morning. Let us turn to Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 16, and in conjunction with that, concert with that, I should say, turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Well, what are we doing? Why are we going through this? Amen. To really get the benefit of God's word, we must prioritize its messages. We must prioritize its messages. There are seven basic messages in the scriptures. They are in covenants.
Yes.
There are seven basic covenants. And these covenants comprise the policy for the dispensation.
Absolutely.
There are seven dispensations. Each dispensation has a covenant. And that covenant is the policy for that dispensation. And for those that are living in that particular dispensation, when they read the scriptures that are there, it is according to the policy for that particular dispensation. We are in the dispensation of what?
Grace.
We're not under the law. Thank God we're not under the law. Amen. And we are not in the kingdom. Those who will be under the kingdom, those in the future.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
There are many, many places where the kingdom gospel is being preached this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're straining to fit it. It's like taking a right shoe and trying to engage your left foot in the right shoe. It's very uncomfortable and it's probably impossible. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because of the curvature. Therein. And this is what's happening throughout Christendom this morning. And they are into the what they call the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And then also they're into John. And they're into the epistles that are the non-Paul written epistles. Amen. They're into James. They're into Peter, they're into John, they're into Jude, and then there are those that are in the Old Testament, and they're into Isaiah, they're into the prophecies there, they're into Daniel, they're into Ezekiel, and they're back there, and they're going through, and they're taking all of this information, and they're trying to customize it and tailor it to fit you as a member of the body of Christ. Amen. And this is why we have taken so much time. We shall continue to take time in our lessons of distinguishing that which is kingdom and law from that which is grace, distinguishing the commonwealth of Israel from the body of Christ.
Right.
Amen. Because one is natural and the other one is spiritual. Amen. Those of us who are in this day, in this time, in this dispensation, as members of the body of Christ, our message is primarily spiritual, not physical.
Amen.
It is primarily about spiritual, the spiritual, unseen, eternal, heavenlies versus the seen physical, that is physicalities.
Yes.
Earthly, amen, and I might say temporary, amen. Oh my God. Even that which is promised to Abraham in eternal vein, it is of that which is physical and earthly, amen. As a member of the body of Christ, God has not promised us not one square inch of this earth. I think I'll repeat that. God has not promised any of the recipients of so great a salvation as being some position and having been placed in the body of Christ before the foundation of the creation of the world. Amen. In the body of Christ is a spiritual organism, not a physical organization. It is not a physical entity.
Amen.
And so the promises of Abraham are not your promises. I don't care how popular the songs may be to that end. The bottom line is this. Amen. All of your inheritance are summed up in two words. In Christ. Amen. Which transcends any plot or set of land in any region.
Amen.
Oh my God, isn't that something? And so what we have to do is we have to get the messages straight. Now, once you focus on the gospel of the grace of God and the mystery, that volume of truth that God revealed to Paul and the writings that are in those specific areas of the Bible, which we call the mystery writings, of those things that were hid for ages and no man knew them and no man had received this information until God revealed it to the Apostle Paul. And this is why he refers to the volume of truth of the message that God has given him as my gospel. And to those who were part of his company in writing to them, he said, this is our gospel.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And it is explicitly stated that it is this gospel that is according to the mystery,
yes,
rather than that gospel that was according to prophecy.
Amen.
So there's a difference between the preaching of Jesus Christ according to prophecy, which the prophets did a very good job of doing, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the mystery.
Amen.
Amen. And so when we look in this information, it is from the vertical heavenly viewpoint, a vantage point of where God takes us all the way back, amen, before time, to eternity, where he eternally abides, and he gives to us such glorious information to let us know what this thing is all about. Otherwise, the only view you're going to get is the earthly view, which is a horizontal view, and the only thing you're going to understand, you really won't understand, but the only thing, amen, there is that is engaging you are the things that are around you. Amen. And, of course, a horizontal view is certainly better than a gnat's eye view. Gnat's eye view is when you're down and you're looking up at everything.
Right.
Amen. You most of the things overwhelm you. But even when you're standing on the horizontal earthly plane, we're looking at the things that are around us,
right,
the things that are confronting us, the problems, the confrontations, and those things that we engage on a daily basis. The majority of them, we don't have the answers for them. We don't really know what they are. And so when you engage the scriptures strictly from the horizontal earthly plane, amen, you're going to be very limited in knowledge.
Amen.
And a lack of knowledge brings about fear. And a lack of knowledge brings about insecurity.
Right.
And
right.
Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Right.
Amen. And so, unless you are going into the upper realm, y'all don't hear me this morning. And surveying the essence of who God is from the plateau of the vertical, amen, eternal spiritual realm, where we look down upon, oh my God, we look down upon creation, we look down upon time, amen, and we have all this glorious information, amen, the more we know, the more secure we are. The more we know, the happier we are. Even if we're going through something down here, amen, on a basis of some confrontation or some trial or something that we are going through, amen, as we go through it, amen, you don't know exactly how that thing is going to manifest, as we say, come out,
right,
amen, but what you do know is that beyond this, amen, of what God has done for you, and this is just some incident that's engaging you on the way to the manifestation of what God has eternally, oh my God, wrought and brought out for you, amen. We are heirs of God, generous of that which belongs to Christ, amen. And regardless of what's happening to you right now, amen, the essence of who you are in Christ far overshadows it. So this is why we take so much time. And we shall continue to take so much time. And no matter what's going on out there each week, we're going to come in here and we're going to talk about the eternal things of God. We're going to talk about sun positioning.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the fact that you have been adopted into the eternal family of God.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the fact that before creation and time, amen, God sanctified you. Oh my God, He chose you. He sanctified you. And He placed you, oh my God, into the eternal realm of giving you His nature. Oh my God. And so this is why we can say that we're sons of God, heirs of God, heirs of that which belongs to Christ. And that's more important than us coming here, amen, creating an illusion by telling you five ways how to do something, how to get out of something. Amen. Because that doesn't work. You see, I know the old saying, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. That's not true. Amen. And this is why we're studying this, to let you know, amen, that all things have been ontologized, a come into being based upon what God has decreed.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes, right.
So what's good for the goose might kill the gander.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Amen. Because that thing is going to manifest the way God has decreed it. Amen. And so as you go through life, don't walk through life all afraid and trembling. Amen. Up all night to, amen, worried about something that it's not going to matter, amen, to whether you stayed up all night or went to sleep. So you might as well go to sleep.
Yeah.
Huh?
Amen.
Your worrying is not going to make it any better. No. Thank God your worrying is not going to make it any worse either. Amen. That thing is going to be whatever God has called it. Huh? Oh my God. Huh?
Right.
And so this is why we're trying to establish actualization by God's decree in eternity,
mm-hmm,
with time basically relegated,
mm-hmm,
to the manifestation of those things that God has already decreed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so this is why we shall stillness a year. Amen. Because God's people are no better off than,
mm-hmm,
those who don't know Him.
Mm-hmm.
We worry just as much as they do.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yes. Amen.
We are just as depressed as they are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, yes, we are.
Yeah, sure we are.
Yeah. We have no more confidence than they do.
No.
Because we depend upon the same thing that they depend upon.
Yeah, that's right.
We depend upon the physical.
Yeah.
But Paul writes that we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith.
Yeah.
Amen. You don't need faith for what you see. You need faith for what you don't see.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And the scripture teaches us that the things that you don't see is the eternal thing.
Right.
The thing that's going to stick around.
Right.
And the thing that you are seeing, the thing that you are touching, the thing that you are tasting, it's going to dissipate.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what temporary means. It's going to dissipate.
Yeah.
And it's not long.
Hallelujah. Man. Hallelujah.
The ministry is not teaching this. And so we're out here doing exactly what the world is doing. Get what you can, trying to can what you get.
Amen. Yes, we are.
And when you store it up, it dissipates.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Even in the kingdom gospel,
mm-hmm,
sure Jesus said, don't do it.
That's right. That's right.
Even in the kingdom, the physicalities of this world will all be destroyed. He will replace them with other physicalities, but they will be destroyed.
Yes,
amen.
But our focus should not be on physicality. It should be on spirituality.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Huh? That is so true. Alright, Colossians 1:16. Everybody got to say amen. Did some prefacing because we're going to go into some areas this morning. Amen. And I want you to kind of stick with me. And some of it's going to be pretty engrossed in didactic, but we time out for all of these ice cream and popcorn and pretzels messages.
Amen.
Those things are, all they're going to do is to lead you into frustration.
Amen.
Let's get the real deal and see what this thing is really about. All right? Again, everybody got Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, Elder, read that from the King James and then from the Interlineal. Now here, again, we preach and teach, and I'm writing, in fact, our next writings that are in our pastor's pen after we finish the excerpts there is going to be a dissertation explaining why we preach and teach from the Greek text.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the basic answer is because we want to know what's actually being conveyed.
That's right.
Rather what some translation might tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And he may be right, but he may be wrong.
Maybe wrong.
And especially what some commentary might state, because many, many times you pick up divers' commentaries and they differ.
Mm-hmm.
They differ.
That's right.
The divers' commentaries differ.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, I like this particular theologian and I believe that he's closer to the truth, so I get his. And then he said, well, I also like this other. Now you pick up their commentaries, and their commentaries disagree.
Right.
So now you have to make a choice who you're going to go with. No, we don't want to be held captive to no translation and no commentary. No. We exegete. All right? Elder Reed.
From the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be the thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him.
Okay, now, there are, I think we've done this before, do it again, take your pen. And there are certain words in that translation that need to be looked at as they are stated and challenged. Not from the standpoint of just trying to challenge something, but from the standpoint of us looking at what it is and going with what it truly is versus what the translator is saying it is.
Right.
All right. In that, in the King James, all things, and it says, by him, and that the by there is not correct.
Amen.
Now let's go to the Greek.
Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Because in him.
You see,
were created.
That's epsilon ni. In him. And now, say, well, couldn't it be both by? Yeah, it could be by, as long as you understand.
Yeah.
That when you said by, you're not talking about something that is remote from God.
Right. Right.
When you say something is by someone, you basically have extricated and separated,
right,
amen, the entity from the one that it is associated with.
Right.
So, well, it is by him, but it is not him. Amen. But if you say in him, amen, now we're talking.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for instance, the universe of all existence, amen, in him. Not just by him, yeah, it's by him, which would be the instrumental case. It's by him, but it's also in him. All right, read.
Because in him were created all things in the heavens and on the earth,
mm-hmm,
the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities.
Mm-hmm.
All things.
All things. Hear me, all means all.
Yes.
Huh? And when we speak about things, we're talking about the visible and the invisible.
And the invisible.
So not only that which is materialized, but every concept, every thought. Every event. Every occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
In him.
Yeah.
In him. In him. It can't be outside of him. Even the universe is where? In him. So, well, how are you going to say the universe is in him? Well, was the universe created? Yes. Then the creation is where? In him. Not outside of him. And this is what we're going to deal with this morning. Now, one more scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Why are we going through all this scripture? I'm not going to ever stand up here and tell you what something is. I'm going to show you what it is. Amen. Oh my God. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
All right, Elder, read that. First from the King James.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9.
Everybody got to say amen?
Yeah.
All right, read.
And to make all men...
Stop. Look at your Bibles there. Look closely if you got a King James.
Amen.
You see some funny writing there? All men. What does that mean?
It
was italicized, which means what?
It
wasn't in the original. Paul never tried to make all men see nothing. Huh? All men. All right. We'll straighten up when we get to the Greek. Keep reading.
And to make all men see what is a fellowship of the mystery.
Now, see, that deal does a... men of God's people, if you took a survey through Christendom this morning, you would be astounded. How many of God's people never even heard of the mystery?
Never heard of it.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Third chapter of Ephesians. And Paul said, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, then he speaks of the mystery, and then he tells what it is, and it's there, it's all over the place. Amen. And it's not preached about.
Nope.
The mystery. What is the mystery? The mystery is that volume of truth of this information that is the information that is in Paul's epistles. It is what God revealed to him. And it is only designated mystery to convey the fact that it was unknown until God revealed it to him. So this is known information that was previously revealed, but sadly, most of Christendom this morning, it is still unknown. It's still a mystery.
Amen.
It is that information that takes you up into the eternal realm and gives explication as to what God has done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank God.
And how do you fellowship in it? Mm-hmm. You fellowship in it by coming to know it.
Mm-hmm.
As you come to know it, you abide in it.
Mm-hmm.
That word fellowship means to have things in common. So now, the eternal things, you can relate to them, or you can fellowship with them.
All right.
Because they become common to who you are in Christ.
All right.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God. Yes, Lord.
All right, read.
which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God,
mm-hmm.
who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Now, where did they get that from? Where did he get that from? By Jesus Christ. That's not in the original text. And you know where they got that from? They got that from what we just got through reading. They transposed that from verses like Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. And it's true, but you don't have to try to help the scriptures out. Now, the ones who did this, though, the underlying motive was
come on.
They separated the Godhead.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yeah.
And to say that God created something caused this problem. Mm-hmm. To say it's in God, it creates problems for them. Mm-hmm. Because they have separated Jesus from God. I can say God, I can say Jesus, I'm saying the same thing. Because Jesus is God. How many of you know Jesus is God this morning?
Huh?
All right, let's go to the Greek. Verse 9.
And to bring to light what is the stewardship of the mystery.
See, to bring to light. Paul said, all he said, I'm bringing it to light. Not make all men see. That's a long way from saying to make all men see, right? To bring to light. What are you bringing to light, Paul? Read. The stewardship of the fellowship of the mystery. My job is to bring it to light. To bring this information to light. Why are we wasting time bringing this information to light? We should be down here trying to solve some of these social problems and political problems.
No way. Mm-hmm.
And psychological problems.
No way.
No. The key to all of that is understanding the essence of who God is and what he is doing.
That's right. What he is doing.
And that way we're not down here trying to change something.
Come on. Hallelujah.
That God has decreed.
He has decreed it.
Because if God has decreed it, can we change it?
No.
It's
done deal.
We have an election that's coming up this year. Don't nobody will get all stressed out. All the candidates and all of that stuff and so forth and so on. And of course, we said go to the polls and vote for the candidate of your choice or who you are led to vote for. And then you leave. Hey, God ordained leaders.
Yes, sir.
Hey. He raises one up and then what? He puts him down.
That's right.
That's Old Testament.
Yeah.
And then the New Testament, all things and leaders, and they have been ordained of God. That means he has endorsed them. It's just like he said, I raised up Pharaoh for what?
Yeah,
I might manifest my power. It didn't say, I raised Pharaoh up because I endorsed him. No, I raised him up to manifest the power.
Right.
And so as we look into this, amen, we begin to look at the purpose of God. And all things move according to the purpose of God. Versus things moving in a certain way without help. You know, most of us, when we say, God, help us, in our minds we're saying, God, assist us.
Yep.
We're not really saying, God, enable us, we're saying, God, assist us.
Yeah.
Huh? Hey, when we get this thing straight, we'll know that nothing moves. That nothing, amen, can transpire except God has ordered it.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Glory to God. Yes.
Amen. This is why when we pray,
mm-hmm.
we say, Lord, your will is done.
Amen.
Why? Mm-hmm. Because it is. He said, no, it hasn't. We haven't seen it yet. No. It is actualized by, it has been actualized by God's decree. In eternity. That thing has already happened. It hasn't manifested yet. You see, we think a thing doesn't happen
mm-hmm.
until we see it.
Until we see it.
When we see it, we think it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't see it, we think it hasn't happened. We don't count it as happening until it is manifested. The manifestation is only the replay
Hallelujah.
Of the testimony
Hallelujah.
Of what has already gone down.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
All right, let's go to our document. Turn to the section, God's ontological existence in himself. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Go down to the second paragraph. Where it says, what is important? And yes, everything that we're teaching and everything that we're saying, we are putting it in writing. We put it where? We put it in writing. What is important is what ontology exudes. What is ontology? Let's go back a second. Let's go to our glossary. Ontology? Study concerned with what constitutes existence or coming into being.
Right.
Ontology to come into being.
Right.
Ontology to come into existence.
Amen.
So what is important is what coming into existence exudes in purpose more than what it is in conceptualization. We look at a thing and say, what is it? When we should be saying, what is this for?
What is this for? Amen.
Because God never does anything without a reason.
Amen.
There is a purpose.
Thank God.
In other words, it is more comprehensible in ascertaining what it is for than what it is purported to events or to be in evidence. Thus, it is the design and aspect of ontologism, that is, again, we're dealing with coming into being. It is the design and aspect of ontologism. What is the design and aspect of ontologism? It's basically saying why God has brought that thing into being. Everything is purpose driven. Everything moves to the end of God's purpose.
Amen. Amen.
Everything that he ontologizes, everything that he brings into existence is for his purpose. God has a reason for everything that happens. Nothing happens without the fact that God has a reason for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
So I lost my job. What could God? Oh my God. And that's our problem. Our problem, the problem is we focus on ourselves as though we are a reason within ourselves. And we're not. God is a The reason is within God,
mm-hmm.
not within us.
Mm-hmm.
God has a purpose for everything
Every.
That transpires.
Hallelujah.
Now, certain things in our lives, we wish it was different. I know there are many things in our lives that we wish were different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But God ordered that thing. And see, what the ministers have taught is that there are some things that God desires, but He's been handcuffed and handicapped by us.
Have mercy. Help us, Lord.
As though we can hinder God's will.
Have mercy.
That is the craziest thing. You can't hinder God's will. Not only God's will be done, God's will already has been done. Because he decreed it and it ontologized and came into existence by his decree. God just thinks it, that's it. It's already happened. Just haven't been manifested. See, manifestation is for our, it's for us. It's not for God. God doesn't have to prove anything to himself. He doesn't have to materialize something for it to be. It is because he's saved. Because all things are created where? In him.
In him.
So it is the designing aspect of ontologism that is defined for the purpose of enabling knowledge sharing among God's creation for his use. As is unnecessary for God to define or explain his existence. It's unnecessary. He doesn't have to define it or explain for it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He only does it so that we can get an idea of what's going on.
Amen.
And most of us still don't.
Yeah.
Oh, glory.
Oh, hallelujah.
We think it's something out here that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You know, the old poet said, prayed the prayer, and I've seen many theologians stand up in the pulpit and use it. Said, Lord, show me the things that I can change, and the difference between things that I can change and I can't change, and then give me the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Mm-hmm. I've seen theologians stand up in the pulpit. Truth is, you can't change anything. How are you going to change?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to change something that God has already brought into existence.
Mm-hmm.
To change anything that God has decreed would impugn his what?
Omniscience.
And?
Omnipotence.
And what else?
And
immutability.
Immutability, right.
I'm God and I change not.
Mm-hmm.
How can he change? It's already done.
It's done.
Yeah, already done.
It's
already
done.
Yes, it is. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Preach it. Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
And this is why the scripture said, we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray. Most of us think that the design of prayer is to help God make up his mind what he's going to do about us.
Yeah.
If I pray long enough, hard enough, if I've been a good person, and many of us don't have confidence in that, so we ask somebody who we think that does have faith with God. You see, they talk about the Catholic Church with Mary. We do the same kind of thing. We ask somebody else to pray because we don't feel that, you know, but we don't understand that person is just as depraved as you are.
As you are.
That's it.
Amen.
That's it.
And then it's not about that anyway.
All right.
First of all, prayer is not petition only.
Amen.
Actually, prayer, what is the definition of prayer?
It
privileged communication with God.
Right.
It means to talk to him, to talk to God.
Right. Amen.
It can be in the form of a petition.
Mm-hmm.
But is that the only time you're going to talk to God?
No.
It's when you want, when you want something. Those of us who have children, we wouldn't like it the only time, you know, your children, if they got everything they need, they'll have anything to say to you. Isn't that crazy? Oh, no, come on. That, you know. This is why we have praise, but then we mess praise up also.
Mm-hmm.
We have motives for praise.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
You know that song, we don't sing that around here. When praises go up, blessings come down. So the reason you praise them, you send the praises up because you want the blessings to come down. You got a motive for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we butter God up so that He'll give us what some of the things we want.
Yeah.
Is that crazy? Is that crazy? No! You praise Him because He's worthy to be praised.
Man.
You praise Him because of who He is. And as you learn this, it automatically brings out a praise.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Worship Him. Why do I worship Him? Oh my God, because when all of this information comes in and I'm able to organize it, oh my God, I automatically praise God. I'm sick, but I just lost my job. But it has nothing to do with this. Oh, the praise. You see, many of us, we don't feel like praising God unless we get into things that we want. Can you praise him when your body is racking with pain?
Amen.
And you're in diseased? Can you praise him when you just lost your job? So now, Pastor, you're getting crazy now.
Hallelujah. Preacher, amen.
Come on.
That's what all of this information is for. So we get the right conceptualization. Another word, conceptualization. All right, let's stop. Go to the glossary. Conception. Everybody got it? Conception. The origination of beginning, that is, the act of power of forming an idea of substance. Amen. So now you know what conceptualization is. Now I'm not saying that someone don't, you know what? Always getting, Pastor, you know, you're talking above our head. So we have the designing aspect of ontologism for the purpose of enabling knowledge among us. In this context of comprehension, scripturally speaking, ontology is the specification utilized by God for revelations of His ontological commitments. What are you saying? The bringing something into being is the specification, that is how God lays it out, of the outline, of the way God does it, for revealing what He has committed to bring into being.
Right.
God, he didn't stop and ask any of us, what should I do? When He did it all, where were you? He had to talk to Job for a second and say, wait, hold it.
Uh-huh.
Where were you in the Old Testament?
Yeah.
When I did all of this, where were you?
Where were you? Oh, glory.
And He wasn't talking about when He materialized it. He was talking about when He ontologized it. Because when He materialized it, He was only testifying when He had already ontologized.
Amen. Glory to God.
Because He ontologized it by His decree.
Decree.
Oh, my God. So God never stops to take a survey. Like, what do you think? And what do you want? No. This thing is already done. All right. Let's go to the section. And I see I'm going to have to excerpt this thing. We've set aside about a year and a half. This thing is about 340 some pages long. So we're going to excerpt. Okay? The existence of everything was initialized and actualized in eternity by God's decree. Everybody got that? Say amen. I hear pages. It should be the next page if you were on section God's ontological existence in himself. Just turn over to the next page. And I might say to those who may be listening to this on the website, www.gracegospelministry.com or .org, you go into the audio section, and there you see these messages. Right above it, there is an icon you can hit. It's a link that you can link, and you get this writing. Because everything that we preach, we put in writing.
Amen.
All right, everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
The existence of everything was initialized and actualized in eternity by God's decree. Now, according to what we have just read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, and Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, the scriptures unequivocally state the fact that everything came into existence and was initiated by God's eternal decree. This truth is in stark contrast to the erroneous proposition that some things have always existed. This postulation is that some things have no beginning, which in turn yields illogical presuppositions that there are some things that don't require origination. I was watching, it was either Discovery Channel or History Channel a couple weeks ago, and I was looking at the history of the scientific study regarding the universe. And for many, many years, they taught that hydrogen and helium were ageless, that is, didn't have a beginning. And they couldn't come up with an age for it using their methodology, finding the age of substances. So finally, some scientists came up with some way. Now, they no longer say that hydrogen and helium is ageless, are eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all they have to do is go to the scriptures.
Save a lot. Amen.
Nothing comes into existence except by God.
Nothing.
Let's stop and turn to John. Chapter 1, verse 3.
Thank God.
Glory. In corroboration.
All right. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
My Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
One of these days we're going to figure out that God knows exactly what he's talking about. I don't get upset with people who dispute this. I don't believe it. I don't buy it. First of all, it's not for sale.
Amen.
Amen. But then, it's not based upon what man thinks.
Right.
You know, Paul wrote in it. Romans, he said, what if some don't believe?
Mm-hmm.
So what? All right, Elder, read that. John 1 and 3.
John 1 and 3.
Mm-hmm. Everybody got to say amen?
Yeah.
Read.
All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
All right. Let's go to the Greek.
The the Greek text, all things through him became,
mm-hmm.
and without him became not one thing which has become.
Not one thing. Not one thing. Utiing. Not one thing. Not one thing. That's physical.
That's right. That's right.
Or spiritual.
Or spiritual. That's right.
That's seen.
Seen.
Unseen.
Unseen. According to Colossians. That's right.
Nothing. Can you say nothing?
Nothing.
Every thought.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
Goes back to the purpose of God.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Give me about 10 minutes here. We're going to just the. Well, no, we started early. We're going to end on time because we started early. How about that? Back to the document. This postulation is that some things have no beginning, which in turn yields illogical presuppositions. That there are some things that don't require origination. We've just taken care of that in the scriptures, haven't we? Huh? In other words, there are things that reside within themselves and are without any needs and thus are in need of nothing except other than that which is inherently within them to exist. Then, of course, you know, they talk about the Big Bang and so forth and so on. And if you don't say God, you know, then where did this come from? So where this came in that, and then where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
You see? It's all traced back to
God.
To God. To God. In this postulation, such things are assumed to be independent of anything greater or superior. But according to the scriptures, this isn't possible because the formation of all things are traced to the creation of everything by God and are thus produced and subjected to his eternal plan, purpose, and will. Therefore, there cannot be any eternal something in that any purpose of such would proffer the production of another eternal something. And such will always be greater than everything else that exists.
Mm-hmm.
And see, they get upset with the process open theism doctrine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Bring it out.
Yes. But the seed of open and process theism is synergism.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you make this thing as soon as you make this thing something that is a joint effort between you and God,
mm-hmm.
basically you're saying God needs your help.
Mm-hmm.
If God needs our help, then that's because he hasn't got all the bases covered.
Mm-hmm.
There's something like God wants to bless you, but you won't let him.
Oh, my Jesus. Oh, my Jesus.
Is that crazy? Is that crazy? You can stop God from blessing you. If we could stop God from blessing us, we would never be blessed.
Man.
If you are blessed, he has to bless you in spite of yourself. Not with your cooperation, but in spite of your non-cooperation.
Man.
Because you don't have the ability to cooperate.
Man.
All you have the ability to do is rebel.
Uh-huh. Man.
Because we are depraved.
Totally depraved.
That's right. Totally. Absolutely.
Man.
Depraved.
Man.
Oh, they don't want to teach that.
No.
I know the poor, what the poet said. There's some good in the worst of us.
Good in the best.
There's some bad in the best of us. So we just go with that. Yeah. What's the scripture say?
What's the scripture say?
Huh? Scripture said there are none righteous.
None.
None righteous.
No, not one.
None that doeth good.
Huh?
Amen.
All fall short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
So what you going to go with? But the point said what the scripture said.
Mm-hmm. Scripture. Amen.
Now we are going through Colossians again. All things created by him in the heavens upon the earth. Whatever they might be, thrones, dominions, whatever they are,
mm-hmm.
authorities. Now, the second part of this thing is where the action really is.
Mm-hmm.
That's your Greek reading. And here, yeah, we will engage you.
Yes,
so, amen, indulge us.
Amen.
Oto ing afto, a kiss, the E, tapanda. This is literally translated because all things were created in him.
Amen.
Thus identifying the location of origination in the sphere of him that is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we first stated, the translation may also be by him or by means of him.
Mm-hmm.
This concomitantly exudes the obvious intended meaning that God basically is the source of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, we have to look at the locale of it.
Mm-hmm.
If God creates something and he doesn't put it within him, where else is there for him to put it?
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Glory to God.
If it's not in him, where is it? Where could it possibly be if it's not in him? All space was created by him.
Yeah.
And if there was somewhere else for him to put it, that means someone else has created something.
Thank God.
That's what it means when you say God is omnipresent.
That's it.
He's not everywhere in the sense that he spreads out into all space. He's omnipresent in that all space exists in him. And it doesn't even fill him up. We got to get this thing right. You know why? Because there's some things out there, and I guess we have to cut off the day. There's some things out there that's messing with you this morning. And they're messing with your mind because you don't have this straight.
Man.
And you're going around picking up information, telling you how to get out of it and how to deal with it, and it's bogus information.
Amen.
Yes.
We got to get this thing straight.
Man.
Wherever it's going down, God has ordered it for a purpose.
Right.
And it's manifesting according to God's purpose.
Right. Man.
And I know we are human, we want that thing to stop, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We want it to change. And so we pray, we say, Lord, right now.
mm-hmm.
Deliverance, right now. But you know how that thing going to work out? According to God's purpose.
Yeah.
And see, sometimes we pray and we say, Lord, right now. And we get relief and we think that God gave us relief because we asked him to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got relief because your relief worked within God's purpose.
Yeah.
And see, if you understand that, then you're not all forlorn and depressed when you say, Lord, right now, and that thing continues.
Right.
You say, right now, and it's God's purpose for that thing to remain.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Paul said,
come on.
I sought the Lord three times. Not once.
Mm-hmm.
Not twice.
Mm-hmm.
But three times.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, move this thorn. Mm-hmm. And later God gave Paul the information that we need to get.
Thank you, Jesus.
He said, I put that thing there as a buffer.
Right.
A messenger of Satan to buffer you.
At
least you should get beside yourself. You see, God had given this man the revelation of the mystery.
Right.
And some of us would think that God should have given Paul carte blanche.
Mm-hmm.
You know what carte blanche is, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
No, we really don't. And that's a French term that originated if two armies were in the field fighting and one got the best of the other and the other surrendered. The one that surrendered would sign a blank paper. So it simply means white paper or blank paper. And then the one that conquered, he would fill in the conditions. But the one who has surrendered is already signed. So in this sense, carte blanche would be, and of course I've heard some of the prosperity ministers preach that kind of foolishness. And they teach that God has given you a blank check. Don't be no fool. You won't find in the scriptures anywhere where God ever gave anybody a blank check.
Nowhere.
In fact, I think some of these fellows have lost their minds. Because what they're teaching is prosperity, and that the servant of God and the minister of God, amen, has carte blanche and will not have to do anything, experience anything, suffer anything, go through anything, and have everything.
That's what you preach.
Yes. And when you look at God's servants,
come on with
it. Everybody had a hard time, didn't it?
Amen.
When you look at God's servants, you don't see them on a flowery bed of ease. You see them catching it. Most of them caught it more than you're catching it.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. That's right.
So, Lord, why would you give Paul what he wants? You're giving him, if you gave him, amen, everything he needed, amen, he could do a better job. No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Depravity doesn't work that way. The information that God gives us and is conveying to us is for the purpose, his purpose of testifying to the end that we identify with him.
Mm-hmm.
How do we identify? We identify with him through his process. What is his process? The impartment of knowledge. And what is God's purpose? God's purpose is to show that it is not him who willeth, not him who runneth, not him. It's not the mightiest of the might. It's not the greatness. It's not the performance of the flesh. Who is it? Oh my God, it is God. And so, we got to get this thing straight. I know what they tell us. They say, if you have any rivers that seem uncrossable. And of course, I could go on that course, amen, and everybody would almost be up on their feet. You know how the preachers do. In the mountains, you can't turn them through. God specializes. Everybody, yeah. And doing the impossible. He can do. Woo. No. What this is telling us is that God is in complete control.
Mm-hmm.
And this knowledge is given for you to understand to the end that you trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you trust him, it's not about whether everything is going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the fact that it is all right.
It is all right.
Oh my God.
Hallelujah. It is
all right. Thank you, Jesus. That you can be like Job of old.
Yeah.
Who said, though he slay me. Yet. Everybody say yet.
Yes.
Yet will I trust him.
Yes, Lord.
Because I have confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen the hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
That he's able.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody says able.
He's able.
To do what no other power can do.
Mm-hmm.
So the knowledge is not given for me to trust God. To do what I want him to do.
Amen.
But it is given to trust God to do what he has already done.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll continue this next week. God bless you.
Thank God.